This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the show. Joe Zagacki, flying solo. Trevor Harris is our producer. Got a great lineup for you coming up. West Durbin, one moment. Wicho Hernandez, former Hurricane infielder, joins us. We'll talk about Miami Hurricanes baseball. We'll have the game for you tomorrow against FIU on ACC Network Extra. Canes have won 10 in a row inside the ACC. And then from our post-game show and Locked On Canes, Alex Zano joins us a little bit later on to talk about the transfer portal. But we begin tonight's show. Always excited to have with us. Let's see. He's the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. He's the voice of the ACC. He is on ACC Network. He is on ESPN. He's on satellite radio. He is everywhere. Wes Durham is with us, and Wes, always great to have you with us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Joe. Nice to be with you. Happy May.
Yeah, we're coming down the home stretch. It's almost time for vacation.
Yeah, it's almost time for vacation, and whatever the off season is nowadays, I guess it's time for that too, right?
Yeah, there's not much of an off season. No. Hey, let me start this way. I was going to jump in with a football question, but I'm going to lump football and Miami basketball together in this question. Okay. Will the Hurricanes in football and basketball be the most compelling programs going into next year?
I think in football, they certainly will be. I think Clemson is going to be the favorite, but I think Miami's clearly in the mix after last year. And despite, you know, losing Cam Ward and some other talented guys, I think you've got a really good football team. And I'm excited to see kind of how Carson Beck morphs into what they want to do, what Shannon wants to do offensively. So, yeah, I think Miami will be the most compelling story in football for sure. I think NC State's going to end up being the most compelling basketball story. I think Will Wade is you know, gone in and done the major operation in the portal, and there's a report that potentially he could get P.J. Haggerty to transfer from Memphis, and if that happens, then he's going to have completely redone a full renovation of the house that Kevin Keats built, if you will. And it's going to have happened in about 100 days, and it's going to be really interesting to see what NC State looks like. And if they get Haggerty, I think, Joe, unfortunately, they're going to be the most compelling basketball story. But I will say this. I think the four coaches are going to be the story of the ACC in a subset, because I think they're all very different. I think they all are very applicable to where their institutions are. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how these guys go in year one at their respective schools.
Yeah, you and I, we talked about it somewhere along the line. Maybe it was at Carolina. Miami, by the way, has a completely new roster also. Not one player back from last year.
That's right.
And we were of the I think we were talking with Dan Bonner that the ACC, the teams that were looking for coaches, Miami, Florida State, NC State, Florida State, Virginia, I don't know if I'd left anyone out, had to get it right. Did they get it right?
I think so. I think NC State and Virginia hired guys that have been at VCU, which is it's a fascinating tie to me. And then I thought that Jay Lucas was a terrific hire by Miami. It was probably one that folks might have been surprised at if they don't follow basketball, but he's more than ready. I think Jay's going to do a terrific job. I like the staff he's built. Certainly I'm very fond, as you know, of Charlton Young. Because I worked with him when he was at Georgia Tech years ago, and he and I've stayed in touch. I think he's a terrific coach, and he's from Carroll City, so he gets a homecoming for sure there. But I am excited to see kind of what Jay can do at running his own ship. I thought he did a terrific, terrific job, Joe, as John Shire's guy. I really did. I was much impressed with the way he not only handled that role, but also the communicative needs he had with the players, things of that nature. I just thought he was a terrific, terrific assistant. I'm excited to see him as a head coach. I think Luke Laux will be interesting only because of the tie to Florida State and his NBA pedigree. Kind of watching to see who he's put together from a staff perspective and kind of where they're going to be, you know, from a roster standpoint. I think that'll be interesting once things calm down here a little bit. But of the four, I think NC State and Miami are going to have the most expectation, if you will. I think that Virginia and Florida State, there's going to be some wait and see once we get to, you know, November, maybe early December, 3 weeks into the campaign type thing.
Wes Durham is our guest. Wes just completed some great work on ACC Huddle on ACC Network with spring football previews. I think that's in lieu of the spring game. We have the previews now, which is better. I think the spring games are all going to disappear, but that's another story. Great work on the ACC Huddle. As you zeroed in on Miami, you actually had a great – you guys had a great question, which was – I think you brought it up. Is the Miami offense under Shannon Dawson going to be the 2023 playbook or the 2024 playbook? Because Carson Beck looks a little bit like Van Dyke. And last year, you know, they had Cam Ward. So which playbook does he go with?
I think it's the Van Dyke playbook, personally. Now, Shannon, you know, can prove me wrong, and Mario may tell me I'm crazy next week when he sees me at Amelia Island. But I just think Carson Beck and Tyler Van Dyke are more the same quarterback. Cam Ward's a 1-on-1 to me, Joe. I mean, I think I told you that during basketball season. I never saw Miami last year in person. I just think Cam Ward is wired to win, and he's got a great athletic skill set, and he can do more things than people realize. I think that's why the Titans made him the first pick in the draft, to be honest with you. I think of this quarterback class, he has the biggest upside, and it's not even close in my book. But I think that Beck and Van Dyke are more the same. I also think, without doing a real deep dive on your depth and some of your skill rotation, it feels like some of the skill stuff on offense sets up for Beck like it did for Van Dyke. Tight end, wide receivers, a little depth at running back type thing. And again, I know the portal influence has occurred, but at the same time, I think your defense has got a chance to rebound. And I think Reuben Bain's one of the best players in the country. I told you that a couple of years ago, and I haven't changed my mind. But I think this is an offense that's going to probably, if I'm guessing, and I could be wrong. I mean, I haven't seen Beck throw a ball for Miami. I would be interested to see where Miami falls, because I think they might be pretty good defensively. And then Beck, you know, if you can run the ball, I think that is a huge bonus for him. Last year when he struggled, it was because Georgia couldn't run the ball. I don't think that's going to be an issue with Miami this year.
Well, it makes two of us that haven't seen him throw in Miami.
I think we're on a long list, don't you? A pretty distinguished one, probably.
It is funny, though. You guys mentioned Jordan Lyle, and I've been asking the question here. I asked it to our pregame guys. Well, who do you think they build the offense around? Carson Beck or Mark Fletcher? And kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, you had Jalen Hurts and
Saquon
Barkley. So who are they going to build the offense here around? Fletcher, because it's his third year. We don't get many guys here for 3 years, and he is a stud.
Yep. Yeah, and I think EJ's the one that brought up Jordan Lyle, and I think that's a really good question. Look, I think there's so many different variables, and that's probably what I like about Miami, to be honest with you, Joe, is the variable factor you've got there. I think that when you start looking at how, you know, Miami is set up, it's really curious from that standpoint, because, you know, you look at just the way kind of the team is put together here. I mean, you've got just about everything you need. You know, I mean, in the way of certainly you've got a success opportunity from a, you know, from a depth standpoint, but you're going to have a scheduling opportunity. You're going to play a big game to start the year. I think that's huge. You know, all that stuff comes into play. And that's one of the things I think it takes to be, you know, kind of today's national champion. And I think Miami certainly has, you know, all the ingredients, I think, to be one of those teams that could factor into it. But you got to win the games. I mean, and, you know, and as Miami fans know more than any, the Canes have got to run it all the way through the tape. You just can't do it, you know, in kind of a soft approach. But I think, remember, too, now, A.J. Allen missed all of last year. Was that right, Joe?
Well, A.J. Allen transferred to FIU.
Oh, he transferred. Okay. Yeah the roster I've got, he didn't have. Yeah. And, again, these rosters are hard to do when you find stuff like that. But I think the other guy that – You know, when I look,
they just picked up a running back in the portal. They were one running back short, but okay, now they got a running back, I think, from North Dakota State. But I'm kind of with you. Sort of wait to analyze their roster now until like June.
Yeah, exactly. I do know, as I understand it, the tight end, the Lofton kid, is that right, Elijah Lofton?
Oh yeah, no, he's a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, I think that's a guy that you could, and again, that's why I draw the comparison to where Van Dyke was a couple of years ago. If Beck can run the ball, and again, I go back to what I saw at Georgia a year ago. 2 years ago, Georgia ran the ball great. Last year, not so much. And the pressure on Beck was a little more intense, and he didn't post. Although he got injured, you know, he probably may have posted some numbers that were similar to last year. I think he was just short by a couple hundred yards passing, but look, he's a talented guy. I think you're going to be pretty good on defense. I mean, Mezador, Bain, I mean, you know, you got guys that are household brands. I think Wesley Bissain is a guy that I thought made a lot of plays for you a year ago defensively. That's a guy I'd be excited about. And then O.J. Frederick obviously was a terrific freshman corner a season ago, too.
I've said this a million times when I get asked about the quarterback at the University of Miami, and I always say the same thing. If you're going to play quarterback at the University of Miami, probably like Notre Dame or playing at Alabama, it's a 24-hour a day, 7-day, 365 days a year job. And
right.
Some guys embrace it, some don't, because you're going to be highly watched in South Florida, just like Tua is with the Dolphins, right?
Right.
And Cam Ward came in here and accepted that challenge. He understood the responsibility. He goes number one. EJ Manuel had one of the great lines I've heard when he said, more guys should look at Cam Ward. He locked in for 6 months and changed his life. And I would add to that, he locked in for 6 months, changed his life, and by going number one in the draft, I wonder how much he changed the University of Miami program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it's, you know, he could be, you know, not to probably create a little hyperbole here, but you start thinking about his impact in 1 year. Had you been able to get to the CFP and contend for the national championship, you could stack it up with like a 1 year Bernie Kosar type thing, right? Yeah. It comes at opposite ends chronologically from Miami's success, but I think Ward's that kind of special talent. I had a chance, and it was funny, I shared this with somebody last July, that I watched the FCS playoffs, and that stuff goes on in December, Joe, because I went to an FCS school, as you know. I just tend to watch those playoffs more, right? And I watched Incarnate Word play Sacramento State with Cam Ward a few years ago, and it was an out-of-sight game. It's just out-of-sight. And then he goes to Washington State and does nothing to disappoint that reputation, right? He is, he's spectacular for a team that can't tackle you and me. And then I thought when he came to Miami last year that he had a chance to be really, really good. And sure enough, he was. I mean, he was just really special. And I think he's got a chance, you know, as much as I can process guys from the college to the NFL level sometimes, I think he's got a – he's got an above-average opportunity to be a really good player in the National Football League.
I like those playoffs as well, because they're always playing in some crazy mountain place on a Friday night when it's 15 below zero.
Yeah, I went to Fargo about 3 years ago to do a playoff game there, and it's one of my top five football experiences as a broadcaster. And I really want to go to Montana, to be honest with you. I've heard all these things about playing in Missoula and doing a game outdoors in Missoula, or even going to Brookings, South Dakota, apparently is terrific too, where South Dakota is. They've won an FCS title. So yeah, the FCS model, it is not the same type of game, but it is just as compelling and dramatic as postseason major college football for sure.
Let me ask you this. We only have a couple minutes to go.
Okay.
A broader version of college football. I heard this one the other day. Has college football been hijacked by the Big Ten and the SEC? 150 players from those two conferences were drafted. That's like 200 guys, 225 guys get drafted or whatever it is. Over 100 were drafted from two conferences.
Yeah. I don't know. It may just be a one-year blip in the deal. There are always trends and things you can pull from every draft in the NFL. Certainly the SEC and the Big Ten have had a pretty good run the last couple of years from national championship perspective and things like that. And the SEC, certainly before the Big Ten's won the last two. I would like to say that I think there are – I mean, I'm of the belief in, as it relates to the draft and guys, you know, creating a career in professional football, I think they can play anywhere and still be found. I just think the processing is that good of the scouts, right? But it does help when you play for teams that are successful on, against good competition. I think we've seen some ACC guys. I put Cam on that list because he was taken. I put Marion Hampton on that list. Donovan Azarocu, who we've all seen at BC, who was a terrific player. The ACC just did not have as many first-round potential draft picks this year, even from the jump. I mean, even from, you know, like early January, it didn't feel like there were going to be that many. But you know, sometimes this thing is cyclical, Joe. So I'd like to see maybe another 2-3 years of it and then, you know, come back and let's look at the ratios each year and maybe kind of either add to or take away from the statement you made.
What in good God's name is going on with Bill Belichick?
Oh, God. I the only thing I can tell you is I have watched to see Mike Lombardi was on with Mark Packer yesterday on ACCPM. And yeah. I would say this. Carolina wants to play football. That's what Carolina wants to do. All the other things that are going on now from a media, and it's hard to use the term media perspective with what happened there, but in my mind, Carolina's job is to get this thing to football. It's May the 6th, Joe, and we're talking about this. This is a time when college football, as we were just saying, that the top needs to be really quiet, right? And so for me, I think Carolina has some some unwanted storylines at this juncture. The guy is a very good football coach. He's there to take North Carolina to places it hasn't been in football, or at least that's the plan. And right now, I'm more concerned. If I'm a Carolina fan, I'm more concerned about the quarterback than I am the coach's personal life and all the things that are taking place. But this is the kind of thing that happens when you do something like this, Joe. You know that, and I know that, right? I mean, the focus is white hot on this thing. And Carolina is going to be a story all the way to kickoff because Bill Belichick's going to coach college football for the first time ever. So, you know, and he's the head coach of a program that has not won an ACC championship in 44 years. So it's that kind of dynamic that brings us kind of attention. Now, in terms of the book and all the other things that go on, I think people in Chapel Hill and people around Carolina just want football to get going. And the problem is it's May the 6th, and they've still got, you know, we got a good ways to go before that happens.
Yeah. I'll leave you with this or ask you this. The guys in Vegas say 8.5 is the over under for Miami, who plays Notre Dame, Florida, FSU, Louisville. Those have been probably the top named teams on the schedule. 8.5, probably not going to be where Miami wants to go.
No, Miami. I think we talked about that briefly on the Huddle Show last week. Miami wants to live in double figures. That's the bottom line. And my guess is that's what Miami's plan is. If they win double-figure games against that schedule, and I think I said this on the show last week, I think Miami is capable of being one of these teams that if they were to slip, they're not out because of the strength of the schedule, Joe. I'd have to look at it in comparison to some other schools. But for me, it just feels like Miami might be one of those teams that's in that kind of neighborhood. And if so, that's good. But you still don't want to give anybody a swing on the house if you take an L, for sure.
Yeah. Wes, always appreciate you. Are you doing well? Let's see. What time is the radio show?
Radio show is on hiatus right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I got some other projects. I got other projects going now. I'm doing well, the ACC huddle, you saw that last week. I did 9 of those 17 shows. And I'm going to be at Amelia Island first the next week at the spring meetings. We're doing some long-form content Actually going to sit down with Jay Lucas next week in Amelia Island to talk about transitioning to be a head coach and trying to visit with all four new basketball coaches. We're going to try and talk to Pat Kelsey and Rhett Lashley for some programming in the offseason that might lead up to football and basketball respectively. And then I'm off to the PGA next week, Joe, for ESPN Plus. So
wow, look at you.
Yeah.
Did you play in that Peach Bowl tournament a couple weeks ago?
I did. I was in the Peach Bowl event. I was not a participant in the actual event. Uh-huh. I played with some sponsors on Monday, which was nice, and they've been kind to include Vicky and me down there for several years, and it's nice of them. But yeah, it's a good event, and people have a good time with it. And man, Mike Norvell and Urban Meyer put it together again to win the challenge. So you got to figure out a way to break up this Florida State thing that's going on.
Yeah, how about that? I didn't know Norvell was such a good golfer.
He's a pretty good. He can hit the tee ball a long way, man.
Yeah.
He's got the long drive thing worked out pretty good, and no surprise to anybody when you get these guys on the golf course, Joe, and you know this from being around them. Some of their characteristics of coaching starts to show up on the golf course, and no surprise, Urban Meyer's a grinder, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's the least surprising statement anybody would ever make about Urban Meyer on the golf course, don't you think? That he's a grinder.
Probably paid more attention to his golf and coaching when he was in Jacksonville.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Good job. You did that without Don helping you. That was really good.
I did. How about that? Yeah. How about that? Well, we're going to be on hiatus here starting Memorial Day, but we'll be back in August. So we'll hit you up in August for a conference preview.
That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you in the lobby of the Hilton at the ACC kickoff. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Wes.
Take care, Joe. Be well.
All right, that's Wes Durham of the ACC Network. If Wes lived here, which he doesn't, but if he did, and it was he needed a vehicle, I would immediately send him to Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, which was founded over 50 years ago. And the reason I would send him there is simple, because I know that when he would walk in there, they would treat him like family. They would treat him like a friend. They would treat him like a neighbor. Even if you're going in there for the first time, you're going to walk in there, you're going to look around and go, wow. I have put my eyeballs back in. First of all, there are so many beautiful vehicles. And secondly, they're going to treat you so wonderfully. And that's what would happen if Wes walked in there or anybody else that I might send into Williamson Cadillac, because customers are their number one priority. Now, if you want to enjoy world-class customer service and then purchase a new Cadillac, the place to go, Williamson Cadillac. And every single day, new Cadillacs are arriving. Williamson Cadillac, easy to find on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Also online, WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.